right, good evening and welcome to our Christmas Eve service. And so we're so glad we could be together tonight and to remember the birth of our Lord and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's begin with singing. Let's turn to 201 in our hymn books. Let's stand together as we sing, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
O come, O ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, oh, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Yea, Lord, we crave thee, born this happy morning, Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
All right, please remain standing as Pastor comes and leads us in prayer.
Father, as we look to you, we're thankful tonight that we can worship thee. Come before thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose birth we are celebrating tonight. Cause our hearts to be worshipful, our thoughts, the things that we are considering and pondering in our heart, may they reflect on thee, not on the hubbub of the day, Lord, of the bustling and of the fast pace that things have been throughout the day, Lord, the traffic, the shopping, the last minute things running here and there. Lord, help us to just take a moment and take a deep breath and think on you. I praise thee for each one that is out tonight. We ask that thou would bless those who wanted to be here but could not. We pray that they might have taken a look at YouTube, Lord, and they're visiting with us that way. We trust, my Heavenly Father, that thou would be pleased with our worship this evening. And we'll thank you for what you will accomplish in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There will be a combination tonight of singing and passages of Scripture. And if you would like to follow along, we are going to go through the Christmas story as it is related to us in God's Word. And the first passage we're going to be turning to is in Matthew chapter number 1, verses 18 through 25. If you don't have a Bible with you, there is one provided in the pew. And I'll give you just a moment to find that. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately or privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
The child of hope is born, to us a son is given, and on his shoulder ever rest all power in earth and heaven. His name shall be the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Lord, the Wonderful, the Counselor, the God by all adored. Oh, hail the Son of Righteousness, a glorious light has shone.
The people once in darkness sat, now Christ will lead them home.
Lord Jesus, reign in us, we pray, and make us thine alone, who with the Father ever art and Holy Spirit one. His name shall be the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Lord, the Wonderful, the Counselor, the God by
The next passage of scripture we're going to look at is in Luke chapter number 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of David, continuing in Luke chapter 2. Out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary,
his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. Continuing in Luke chapter number 2, verses 8 through 14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
At this time, we'll take our hymn books once more. We're going to turn to 196. We're going to sing the first And the second stanza is just two stanzas, the first and the second. Angels we have heard on high. You can remain seated as we sing.
Angels we have heard on high, we singing o'er the plain, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strain. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joy our strains prolong? What may the tidings be which inspire your heavenly song?
Chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
And turn to our hymn book once again, this time 228, and we'll sing the first two stanza once again, stanza 1 and 2 of What Child Is This?
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
On the second, why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and donkey are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Hey!
unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. O tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. O tidings of comfort and joy.
If you would like to follow along, I'm going to be going to a passage of Scripture that you might say is not Christmas at all. And yet it is Christmas wherever you open your Bible. And so I would like you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and find the very last verse of that chapter in verse 15. Before I read the verse, let me tell you why I'm talking about this. There is a particular word in this section of Scripture that describes what is going on in this day that we are celebrating. All children are excited tonight. Some of them will open packages this evening. Some of them won't be able to sleep. There's a tradition in our house. My wife is a little crazy. That's not the tradition. The tradition in the house was that when our second daughter, Christine, was of the age where she could begin to understand that the Christmas Eve came, Christmas Eve service like this, we would go home, we would try to hurry them into bed, and they had a hard time sleeping, and she would inevitably be up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning on the particular days where my wife, who was a nurse working 3 to 11 at night and did not get home sometimes till 1 o'clock in the morning, and we didn't get to bed till sometimes 3 by way of putting all the things out that we needed to put out and so on, and a daughter getting up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and shaking you and say, hey, there's stuff out in the living room, was not necessarily our cup of tea. And so she decided that she was going to allow her to open, this would be the following year after that happened, allow her to open her stocking, which she wrapped every little stick of chewing gum, bubble gum, every little tiny little thing, and wrapped it really tight. So she would take at least 2 hours to unwrap these things because you needed a hatchet, a hacksaw, and chainsaw in order to get them open, just to give us a little bit of more sleep in the day. But she was excited. Now, she wasn't excited on Sunday morning to come to church, you understand, but she was excited on Christmas Day. Some of you will go home and maybe you will open a package, or maybe you received one already. Maybe in the few days before Christmas Eve came, someone gave you a gift. And it was a wonderful thing to receive it. It was a wonderful thing also to be giving it. This is truly a season of giving and receiving. I've worked at retail, and we always hoped for a good Christmas season, because it was a good Christmas season in a retail store wiped away all the indebtedness that you had acquired in the rest of the year, and you might break even, or you might even get a little bit ahead, because people were giving and receiving gifts given. Charities. Have you noticed that charities are stuffing your mailbox? And everybody is looking for a dollar here or five there, or that little word other that appears on their cards. Or telephone calls come in from places that you don't even know that are legitimate, or maybe they're not legitimate. And so you may let the telephone ring like we do. It's a time of giving. And people don't understand sometimes what giving really is. They don't understand what receiving really is. They don't understand the value of a gift. Because the value of a gift is not the denomination of money that was spent in order to give you that gift.
That gift was given or ought to be given out of a heart that respects you and loves you. So let's talk a little bit about this. And look at verse number 15. And I'll give you the occasion of this in just a moment. It says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. What a way to describe a gift. Undescribable. Well, the occasion of this particular passage of Scripture is that the Corinthian church had made a statement to the Apostle Paul that they were going to send an offering for the relief of other believers, that they, those believers being in a very difficult situation. They needed help. There was a drought. There was a need for food. They didn't have enough money. Work was not able to be had in those particular areas where they were going to be sending the relief. They made a promise, but they never ever fulfilled it, at least up until this point. If you're following along, I want you to go back to verse number 6. Same chapter. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. As he purposed in his heart. Giving has something to do with the heart, doesn't it? Giving ought to emanate from the heart of a man. Now, the heart of a man is not the organ that pumps blood through your body that is certainly vital to you, but it is not who you are. You are not an organ. You are a person. You are a soul. And when the word heart appears sometimes in Scripture, it describes the organ, but most of the time it describes the person, who he is, his makeup, how he thinks, his mind, how he makes decisions, his will, and his emotions. So out of the thought process and out of the heart, the love, the emotion of an individual, there ought to be a will in giving something. And that word giving is described here in the negative at first, if you will look at verse number 7. Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give. And now watch the negatives happen. Not grudgingly. Not without sorrow. Not with pain. There are some people who give grudgingly, sorrowfully. They give gifts. Do I have to? And there's pain involved. How much have we got to spend on this? There's annoyance. And there's mourning. That's not really a nice gift given, is it? When that's given out of that heart. Keep all these things in mind. I'm getting someplace with it. Not grudgingly or of necessity. In other words, something that is imposed. You've gone to those Christmas things and they said, bring a $3 grab bag. Like where are you going to find that? In a thrift store? Okay. And so everybody violates the rule and you pay more and you do it grudgingly and you do it because it's imposed upon you. You want to do that thing. Woe unto you if you show up at that particular party without the grab bag gift or the white elephant or whatever it might be called. Out of duty. Some people do that. And some people even do it out of distress. Those are all the definitions of that particular word. But you will note the next thing that it says, because it goes from the negative to the positive. God loveth a cheerful giver. And the word cheerful turns the grudging and the necessity on its ear. And it means joyfully or willingly or hilariously, I want to give. So there is the attitude of giving that should be had in people's lives at this moment. But when we flip the page over, we see that the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, is not just talking about their giving. He switches when you come to verse number 15, and he brings God into the equation because we understand that God is the greatest giver of the greatest gift. And all of the things that are described over in the chapter number 9 and verse number 6 and verse number 7, did God give his son grudgingly? Did God give his son out of necessity and saying, I really don't want to do this? Or did he do it joyfully and cheerfully, sending his son to Calvary? You got to think of that through. Because the Bible says of the Lord Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. We know that he sweat great drops of blood the night before in the Garden of Gethsemane. We know that in agony he pleaded with the Heavenly Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. We know that, and yet Hebrews tells us that the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, though he willingly gave himself at Calvary. He gave himself in such a way that is described here as a gift. You see, you may have spent a few dollars to put something in a box or a bag under a green fake or real tree. You may have spent $5, $10, $15, $20, $25, $30, $35, $40, $45, $50, wherever it goes. Toys have gotten expensive these days. And you put it there out of necessity. You may have put it there out of guilt. But God in his love toward mankind sent his only begotten son into this world, and he gave that only begotten son with the purpose in mind that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The word gift, as we find it here in this area of Scripture, is a gratuity that has been given to us. And when you follow the truth of what the Scriptures are saying is involved in this particular gift, it is a gift that alleviates from the person it is given to the penalty of sin that was due to that person. This isn't a gift wrapped up under a tree. This is one giving himself in your place to die for you. That gets a whole lot more expensive than anything that you can find in a store today or at Amazon or wherever you shop. It's called the precious blood of Christ was shed. That's a gift. I didn't deserve it. Because a gift is given not because the person has earned a gift. Some of you have heard this story 100 times, so forgive me. Let me say it one more time. I used to work across the street here in a furniture store called Jacob Kurlantrick's. When I went there, I took a cut in salary. The reason I took a cut in salary is because God answered prayer that my wife and I had been praying, Lord, I need a different job, because working for the W.T. Grant Company, I was not seeing my children as a manager in those stores. We were working far too many hours. My children were asleep when I went to work, and they were asleep when I came home. I wasn't seeing them. The days off promised were not given. We had to work them, and then they included Sundays. And so I wasn't even able to come to church as a new believer, having just trusted Christ as my Savior. God answered prayer. We took that $25 a week cut. Now listen to these astounding numbers. I went from $150 a week to $125. Wow. That was good money, I want to let you know. Okay. We were doing well. But it was still a cut. And I worked hard for that $125 per week. We worked every day of the week, Monday through Saturday, half a day off on Wednesday. But hey, working for Jacob Kurlanchik, we had every Christian holiday off, and we had every Jewish holiday off, which was a wonderful thing. The first week I began there, Ben Kurlanchik, the owner, knew I had taken a $25 a week cut. And I had worked my hours. I had done my 40 plus hours that particular week. And for those of you who can remember him, he always had the stub of a cigar hanging out of his mouth right here. And the stain of the tobacco that had stained his lip coming down. I have never seen him smoke it. I've just seen him chew on it. And the spittle would run down on the side. And he had a rough voice. And at that time, I was selling furniture on the floor over here. And on that Saturday, when we received our pay stubs, he said, "Raymond, come here." Oh, first week, I'm in trouble. What did I know? There used to be a little tiny room where all the swatches of the coverings for furniture would be in there, swatch after swatch after swatch, book after book. It was the private place that you could go. It was well insulated with all that material, and no one could hear you. And he said, as he reached into his pocket and pulled out a $20 bill, he said, "Take your wife to supper." That was a gift. And he did that 52 weeks out of the year. As long as I worked for him, he gave me $20 every week. To my knowledge, I don't know if he did it to anybody else, but I know he did it to me. And it was a gift. You might say, "Well, Pastor, you worked hard for that." No, that was a gift. Because you see, at the end of the year, and he would give me a $200 bonus because he switched my positions to shipping and receiving. But that $200 bonus was not a gift because it went into my pay. And it's not a gift when the state and the federal government take their portion. But even then he reached into his pocket and gave me a $20 bill. Did I deserve it? No, I had agreed upon $125 a week. I had shook his hand and said, "That's a deal. I will take the $25 a week cut. I will come here because it is more important for me to see my children, to be a father to them, to grow up in their lives, to be home every night of the week except one, to be able to go to church on Sunday and Wednesday night, and to go out with my pastor knocking on doors on Wednesday afternoon throughout the community. It was more important for me to do that than to have that other $25. No, that $20 was a gift. I didn't deserve it. I didn't work any harder than anybody else. It was just a gift. Far more than that, there is the gift of everlasting life. That God, who doesn't smoke a cigar nor have tobacco stains on his lips, and doesn't speak with a rough voice, who beckoned unto us when we were undeserving and said, "Here's my son. Here's the gift of everlasting life. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the gift of God, gift. That which is going to be given to you for free, it's not going to cost you anything, it costs God everything, and the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose birth we are celebrating tonight, and the person of the Son of God, who came into this world and bore your iniquity and the judgment that you and I deserved, was placed on him. And God said, here's the gift of eternal life, the gift of forgiveness of sin, the gift wherein the judicial action of a holy heavenly Father in heaven, who would have condemned us to hell, said, my Son has paid the price for your redemption. Here's the gift. Now, there is a strange thing that will happen in our house about 7 or 8 o'clock tomorrow night. You see, I told you about that tradition that we have now. Well, they're no longer stockings. They're shopping bags. And there's no longer one or two. There's nine. Because my son-in-laws never got a stocking when they were growing up, and they saw what was happening, and they said, don't stop, Mom. Don't stop. And so her Christmas shopping is going to start January 1. All the sales, you know, the 50-cent things, the dollar things, this. And the challenge for us at this age is to remember where we put them. There's a wonderful thing that will happen because all those bags have their name on them. And they will sit there, and for about an hour, they will open those wrappings. Only in the bag that has their name on it. For God so loved the world, for God so loved, put your name in there. So God so loved McKenna. For God so loved Sydney. For God so loved Arnie. For God so loved Michael. For God so loved Rick. You understand? Put your name in there. For God so loved the world that he gave to give unreservedly from the bottom of his heart, cheerfully giving his son the gift that we benefit by if we believe on him. Who to know is right is life eternal. Romans 5:8, God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm not worthy of the gift of everlasting life. I am not suitable for the gift of everlasting life. I don't deserve the gift of everlasting life. I've blasphemed his name. I've walked contrary to his will. I've sinned against his holiness, and I've broken every commandment that he has had in his word. Because the Bible says if you've offended one point, you've broken them all. Do I deserve the gift? Not at all. Do you deserve the gift? No, you don't. Because you and I are both wicked sinners against the holiness of a righteous God. And still, he sent his son to shed his blood for you at Calvary's cross. Out of love, he gave. Out of kindness and concern, compassion and mercy, he gave. You don't deserve it, do you, Sydney? And yet he loved you and gave himself for you. How could I do anything less but receive him? I'll close with this. Now, I need you to be honest. How many of you expect to see something with your name on it Anybody? Come on, put your hand up. It's okay. If it's got your name on it, McKenna, how long will you look at that gift before you take it? Did I hear not long? Not long. I mean, you will not wait till next Christmas to open it? You wouldn't do that, would you? No. I mean, even opening it, if you asked for a particular thing, and I don't know that you did, but if you asked for a particular thing and that box looks like it's the right shape of the thing and it's got your name on it, and you say, "Oh, for me?" And you leave it there. And you never take it. You never open it. You just take it to your room and put it on your dresser. And it sits there. And you walk by it and you say, "I have a gift." But you never receive it. And so the scripture says, as many as receive him, to them he became the power of God, even to them that believe on his name. You see, knowing that Jesus Christ gave himself for your sin, knowing that he died in your place at Calvary, knowing that this is the greatest gift that a God in heaven could give, does you absolutely no good unless you receive it. And so the Bible says this, as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believing is receiving. And so at this Christmas time, the arm of the Lord is stretched out to you, which the Bible says is not shortened that he cannot save. And he's offering unto you a gift of everlasting life, and you might be in this room tonight, and you don't know Christ as your Savior. You're religious, which is fine. You're in church, which we praise the Lord for. But when you leave here, will you know that you have everlasting life? Will you know that you have received the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone? As many as receive him. That means you. Put your name in there again. And I can't remember who I picked on. I picked on Sydney, and I picked on McKenna, and I picked on Arnie, and I picked on Rick, I think. And as many as receive him. But you may not this Christmas season receive him. You could sing all the great carols. You have listened to some wonderful music. But you have no hope. That was the first song. You have no reason to celebrate who he is. But I want to tell you that God loves you. And he sent his son into this world to die for you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity. How we pray that thou would just work a good work within us. And if there's one tonight who needs Christ as Savior, I pray that they might call upon your name, that they might be born again, that they might have the gift of eternal life, and for that we'll thank you. Now we plead with thee, my Heavenly Father, that all obstacles will be taken out of the way. All distractions will cease. And the focus of the heart of some man or some woman, some teenager, some boy or girl, might be squarely upon you and the gift that has their name on it. I pray tonight that they might be saved, have forgiveness of sin, have the judgment of God lifted from off of them by the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to remember, Lord, that's what this time of year is all about. For unto us is born a Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So save tonight, Lord. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, you'll say, "Pastor, I'm glad I'm here tonight. God has burdened my heart that I have never, ever received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never asked Him to save me. I've never confessed before Him that I am a sinner, lost, on my way to a Christless eternity in hell. And tonight I want to receive the gift of everlasting life by faith. I believe. Would you pray for me, Pastor? I'd be happy to do that. Would you slip your hand up for prayer if you're seated here tonight and you don't know Christ as Savior? You say, I want to trust Him. Is that you? Is there one? My Father, I pray that as we continue, that Thou would be pleased. Help us, my Heavenly Father, to worship You now as we conclude the service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, and as our tradition is, we'll take our candles and we'll stay lit. And we're going to sing Silent Night without the instruments. And being it as dark as it is, we'll probably just sing the first verse, but we'll sing it twice because most people have it memorized. So we'll sing that now. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round young virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. So tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Merry Christmas, everyone.